You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to get right into it. This is the last part of our All Things New series. We've been talking about this desire that we have for new, and we started on Easter Sunday talking to you about what Jesus came to do. And if you were here, you remember that we mentioned that Jesus' focus itself is a lesson for us. Because he didn't focus on outer things. He focused on our heart, in our heart. He came for an inward transformation. And that is a sign that the best kind of newness that you can experience is from the inside out. We can search external experiences. We can try to have new things. But if you're trying to satisfy that need for new, Jesus came to give us that abundant life. And then last week, we talked about heaven and hell. And if you weren't with us, I encourage you to listen to the message online. We just broke it down, the couple of things that the Bible tells us about heaven and hell, but also how that can be practical for you and I here. But the main thing that I wanted to remind you is that we are all journeying toward a new reality. If you remember last week, we talked about how we came from perfection and we're going toward heaven, perfection. And in the meantime, while we are here, we don't have to wait. Because when Jesus came, one of his first announcements was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here." Jesus came to bring heaven to us right here, right now. So today I want to continue, and I just really want to keep it simple today. I want to give you three very practical challenges. I'm going to speak to your intuition today. And I want to affirm, because I know that God is speaking to you. I know that God is giving you direction. I know that the Holy Spirit is moving you, and he's giving you direction with a whisper. Right? And maybe you're being drowned out by circumstances and life is noisy and you're committed to too many things and you can't really stop and listen. So today I want to be that voice that agrees with whatever God is already speaking to you. So I've titled the message, "You Already Know It." Look at somebody and say, "You already know it. You already know it." That's right. I do believe that God speaks to us all. He speaks to all of us so long as we have an open heart to hear from him. So long as we have a desire to hear from him and we seek to hear from him, he speaks to us. If we have that disposition to honor God, he speaks to us. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, there's a story about God coming to the apostle Peter. He was praying. He says that he went in a trance and God gave him a vision. And God told him, "I want you to go to the house of a man named Cornelius." Now he was known. He was a Roman centurion. He was a good Italian man. All right. I know a lot of good Italian people right here. He was one of us. He was known as the Italian cohort. But he served God. And as far as we know, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew, for sure, but he served God by praying and giving alms. He helped the poor, and God listened to his clamor. God saw what he was doing, and God sent one of his apostles to his house. Now, this is what's interesting, because when Peter saw that vision, God spoke in a language that Peter would understand. And God told Peter, "Listen, I want you to eat from these foods." And God showed him foods that were not allowed. Jewish people were not allowed to eat. And he said, "No, God, I can't do that. I will not defile myself with what's unclean or common." And then God gave him the vision two more times. And this is what I find interesting. Peter walks into Cornelius' house and explains to him what happened. He said, "You guys know," and that's the passage that we're looking at, Acts 10:28. "You know that I'm not allowed to be here. According to our law, I cannot even come into your house. Jewish law was very strict about that. I cannot even come into your house. But this is what God told me, that I should not call any person uncommon or unclean. And that is powerful. So I just want to level the playing field here today, because I believe we have people here who have been doing this for a while, but some of you, you haven't been doing this, I believe probably most of you haven't been doing this for a while, and you're on this journey, and you might feel like you're not quite there yet. You might feel like, oh, I don't know if God can speak to me. I don't know if I'm, you know, able to hear from God. And sometimes what happens is this: God is trying to speak to us, He's trying to guide us, and many times what stops us from this new life is that we keep looking at our own junk, we keep looking at our own mess, we keep looking at our own shortcomings, and we count ourselves out when God is trying to take us into a new mindset. You might even think that way. You might come to God with that mindset, saying, God, just such a mess. Help me out, Jesus. Help me out, God. Now, let me remind you, God is saying you are not common. You are not common. He has a purpose for your life. And this purpose that He has for you goes well beyond resolving your issues. Goes well beyond resolving the problems that you might be facing. You know, Sometimes I talk to people and I understand why they come to God, and you might be here today with something pressing, and that's valid. You should bring things to God. But let me remind you today, a life with God goes beyond you resolving those two or three things that you want to resolve. It goes beyond you bringing your petitions to God and saying, God, if you resolve this, I'm okay. I'll be all right. See, he doesn't want to clean you up a little bit so you can go back to manageable life. He doesn't want you to just go back to a manageable life. He wants to give you new life. He wants to give you a kind of life where you can go beyond what you can think or you can imagine. He wants to lead you into a kind of life by His power, not your power. So let me level the playing field here today and remind you that a life with God is beyond solving your problem. It's a life of joy, of peace, of righteousness. It's about having a sound mind. It's about having a clean heart. It's about navigating this life with an elevated faith, knowing that God has called you to prosper in every area of your life, to succeed in every area of your life. And if you're here today and you are open to God, even though you might say, JD, I'm not really a Christian, if you are open to God, He can speak to you. And everything we're going to share here today applies to you as well. Okay? Remember, God says you're not unclean, which means this: there's nothing that you've been through or you might be involved with right now that can affect His holiness. You can come into His presence, you're not going to mess Him up. Okay? This is the beautiful thing about our God. You know, you can come with all of your things. And instead of the impure making the pure impure, usually when you have something that's clean and you mix them up with something that's not clean, it affects the clean. And the not clean stays not clean. With God, it's different. The clean cleans the not clean. A lot of clean in that sentencing. I just didn't want to say dirty, all right? I wanted to say not clean. You're not beyond reach. All right, let me read this scripture for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Very well-known scripture says this. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So that is the first thing that I just want to propose to you. I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service to make this decision before God. But if you're here today and you're open to God, but you don't consider yourself a Christian or a follower of Christ, that's where it all begins. I want to propose to you to consider following Jesus and receive this message of reconciliation, because that's what we're called to do, to reconcile with God. Now, what I find beautiful in this passage is that God wants you, his intention for you, for your life, is to make your life a display of his goodness. God is making an appeal to the world, to those around you, through you. That's his intention, to mold your life, to shape your life, to bless you in such a way that you may be an example of a new life to those around you. That you may be an example of what it's like to live for God, to live for God, to those around you. Sometimes the accent comes out, guys. To live for God. To live for God, those around you. God wants you to be a display. My parents' generation used to go to the mall just to go window shopping. Everybody knows about window shopping? We don't do that anymore, right? We got Pinterest now. You don't have to leave your house. You can just, you know, pull out your phone and go on Pinterest and window shop on your phone. But this used to be a common practice. You don't want to buy anything. You just want to go out. You just want to leave the house and go window shopping at the mall. I don't know if you've ever done this in New York. Let's just go to New York and just shop around and look at the windows. Well, if heaven were a store, God would want to dress you up, to change you from the inside out, so that you could be the mannequin on his window. So that people would walk by heaven and say, whoa, I think I want to go in. I think that's what I want. Because he wants to use your life so that others who walk upon the earth can look at you and realize that this is what it's like to be forgiven. This is what it's like to be free. This is what it's like to be blessed. This is what it's like to prosper in every area. This is what it's like to have a healthy marriage. This is what it's like to raise godly children. This is what it's like to have joy, to have peace. This is what it's like to follow Jesus. This is what it's like to live a life with God. He wants to make all things new so that he can elevate you and show the world heaven through you. So I'm going to give you three challenges today. These are challenges, okay? The scripture says that God's staff and his rod will comfort you. So you might feel the rod of the Lord today. But know that it's for comfort. Three very simple challenges that you already know. That if you think about these things every day, every single day, if you practice these three things, you will step into this new creation, this transformed life that we believe God wants you to have. First daily challenge is this: refrain. Refrain. There are things you might be involved in right now, or you're tempted to get involved in, that you need to make a decision, a conscious decision, to refrain from. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says this, the NLT version. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. See, some things that you might be practicing right now might be straight up sin. And let me just give you to clarify what sin actually means. Sin is an archery term. Back in the day, you know, archers were part of the military. And when they pulled a bow and arrow and they had a target to hit and they missed it, that was called a sin. And the sin was costly, especially in battle, because it costed life, it costed advancement, it costed progress. And some of you, you might be involved in things right now that are costing you. It's costing you life. It's costing you your advancement. It's costing you progress. You know, they're meaning this. God has set a mark for you. He's speaking to your heart. He's already giving you a nudge. He's already telling you. It's in there. He's giving you a mark. And the next step is clear. You know what it is, but you're hesitating it. You're hesitating in walking toward the step that God is calling you to. You already know it. There's a voice on the inside. And I'm here this morning to agree with the voice of God that's already in your heart. And just to tell you, you know you have things that you need to refrain from, and the power is in your hand. Some of you, you know, God is speaking to you to be truthful. Something simple, just be truthful with your words. But every time you have an opportunity to, you know, prop things up a little bit so you can look a little better, a little lie goes in. You have an opportunity to make things look better. And you know on the inside that you shouldn't be doing that. See, the thing about sin is that it grows. And it starts with one and then another. And then all of a sudden, you're doing it to yourself. And with lying, it's like that. And God wants you to live in truth. Some of you, God is nudging you to refrain from consumption. He's consuming everything. Consuming your paycheck. You're consuming everything. And it's never enough. You know, you get paid and you live like a king for 2 days. And then you're a peasant until the next paycheck comes. And that anxiety builds up and you just want to feel that feeling again of being able to just go for it. And then you get paid again and it's a day and a half, man. And Amazon is clapping. You know, God is speaking to you. Don't ignore his voice. He wants to satisfy that craving. Stop and think, what is that really about? Why am I searching? What am I searching for here? Why am I doing this? Why am I searching for this in consumption? Don't ignore the voice of God. Listen to it. It's for your good. For some of you, it's not necessarily a sin. You know, you're missing the mark, not because, you know, you're intentionally doing it. You're watching for your actions, and you're actually very conscious about not missing the mark. But you're carrying some weights that you shouldn't be carrying. It's not necessarily a sin, it's just some weights. You're going through life heavy. You know, it might be an unhealthy friendship. You know you got to let go. You got to cut that string because it's not doing you any good. And God's already been nudging you. You already know. You know, you might not recognize the voice of God. And you might not know it's God. You might call it intuition. But the Holy Spirit is telling you, listen, this is not a healthy relationship. This is not a healthy friendship. You got to take a step back. Maybe it's a bad habit. You know, it might not be anything toxic or anything that against your body, but it's a bad habit that's dragging you. It's dragging you, and you can't find the joy of freedom. Maybe something that you're involved in. You know, there's nothing but a distraction. Nothing but a distraction from the purpose and destiny that God has for you. Again, this is keeping you from running your race, keeping you from running freely. So what should you abstain from? What should you stop doing? What should you refrain from? That's a question for you to ask every single day. Remember, a plant, especially a young plant, grows in two methods, by feeding and by pruning. And there are certain things in your life that you might need to prune right now. So ask yourself the question, ask God the question, what should I abstain from and what should I refrain from. Again, you already know it. You already know it. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. So let me give you a goal, okay? Sometimes we want to stop, we want to refrain, but all we think about is, okay, I got to stop doing that or engaging in that because it's bad. But let me give you a new goal. What if you lived with your mindset, I'm going to do that so I can please God? God, I'm going to do this unto you. I'm going to stop this practice. I'm going to let go of this so that I can please you. If you make pleasing God more important than whatever it is that you're trying to refrain from, something will happen on the inside where you will gain this strength, because you are not going to be doing it alone. You're not fighting against your own urges. You're not in this internal fight. You're linking arms with God and you're saying, God, I want to please you right now, so give me the strength. I want to do this for you. And instead of being something that is restricting you, now it becomes worship. You're offering God yourself. You're offering God your life. And you're saying, God, I'm not getting involved in that. Why? Because I want to serve you. Because I want to give you my best. So transform me and move me. Second challenge, daily challenge. Repeat. So refrain and repeat. There are things in your life. There are things in your life that you should repeat every single day. Got to practice so that you can grow. Things that build up your spirit, man. Things that will usher in this new life of God daily. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, another well-known passage says this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in these and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The life you're looking for needs practice. It takes practice for you to reach the kind of life that you're aiming for. It takes repetition, and it's important to engage and repeat. Some of you, like I said, you already know it, because God is nudging you. He's calling you to read the scriptures every day. And you don't have to start with a whole book. It's a couple verses, a chapter, just to build up that practice. And you've been postponing it. You know, some of you, it's a little bit more natural. God's been calling you to exercise, and you've been putting it off. You know, some of you, God's been calling you to give of your finances, you know, but you're spending it all on yourself, and he's trying to do something. God's been calling you to pray daily, and you're postponing it, you know. God's been calling you to restore a relationship with a family member. Just pick up the phone and make the phone call. And you've been putting it off because it's hard. Some of you, God's been calling you to engage with what he's doing. You know, you feel a sense of purpose that you got to engage your talent somehow. And every time you hear us talk about starting points, like, I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to do it next week. Every time you hear us talk about Connect Group, okay, I'm going to get in one. Next season. Let me ask you to listen to what God is already calling you to do and repeat it. It takes practice. You can't open your Bible one day, read three passages and go like, all right, let me see what's going to happen now. And then wait 3 months to see what difference it's going to make. Think about a married couple, right? Think about a married couple. Let me just present this scenario to you. It's an absurd scenario, okay? What if the wife came to the husband and said, hey, babe, I think we need more conversation, because we've been married for 5 years and we haven't talked yet. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, things, but we haven't talked yet. Like, real. Like, I don't know what's going on in your heart. And the husband went like, we did plenty of that when we were dating. We don't need to do that. What if it's on reverse? If the husband goes like, hey, babe, I think we need to be together, you know? Like, coming together. And she says, oh, we've been together plenty in our honeymoon. And he was like, yeah, but that was 5 years ago. You know, a relationship takes practice. You gotta repeat to keep the heat. You gotta stay engaged. I literally just wrote that like over there. I was like, this is a joke. You already know it, and I want to confirm what God is already speaking in your heart. Some of you, it might not be anything that I mentioned here, but you already know it. And you might be looking for a sign. God, give me a sign. Well, this is your sign. I am your sign right now. Engage. Okay? Repeat. Engage. Take action and then repeat it. You know, spend time in the scriptures. Pray. Fast. Sacrifice. Reach out. Call somebody. Help. And then do it all over again. Pray. Fast. Sacrifice. Worship. Give. Pray. Fast. Sacrifice. Worship. And give. Pray. Fast. Sacrifice. Worship. And give. Repeat. 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 And as you do that, you will see the transformation on the inside. God will begin to transform you from the inside out. You cannot hope to live a life with God when you're neglecting the things that usher it in. You gotta practice it. You gotta do the work. You know, you can't coast your way into greatness. And you were called to be great. You are called to be the kind of person where God, whenever He wants to show somebody how good He is, just points at you. And you're walking upon the earth as an example of His goodness. Now, I get it. We lead busy lives. We can be easily involved with so many things that take us away from what's important. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor. I was writing down everything that I'm directly responsible for the church yesterday because I need to shuffle some things around. And there are 18 things that I'm primarily responsible in the making of everything here. I'm like, you know what? That's not feasible. There are probably 5 things that I can do well. I can't do 18 things well. And I've been feeling this need to orient my life correctly. So about 4 months ago, I set a goal for myself, and I built this little daily habit tracker. And instead of looking at the stuff that, you know, everything, I said to myself, I'm going to do 5 things. 5 habits that I need for my life every single day. Prayer, reading the scripture, reading books, writing, and exercising. I want to do these 5 things. And I built I give myself a point every time I do it. And I see the points add up. I haven't been perfect. You know, I pray and read the scriptures every day, but when it comes to reading books and going to the gym, I haven't been perfect, but I'm getting better. Every single week, I'm getting better. And I want to encourage you to do what it takes so that you can make sure that no distractions will rob you from the life God has for you. Because He has a wonderful life for you. Third challenge. Is this helping you? Is this good? Awesome. Third challenge, rise. So, you already know what you need to refrain from. God's already been speaking to you. You already know what you need to repeat daily. There are things that you know. It might not be 5 for you, it might be 2 or 3, but you need to repeat them daily. The third thing that you got to think about daily is rise. And that's my last challenge. And this is just to keep you honest every single day, okay? Because I believe you need to know that each day you can rise. Each day you can, it's up to you to make the effort to rise. I'll explain what I mean. At Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore it says, he's quoting from another scripture, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Listen, you have gifts. You have gifts, you have talents, you have abilities, you have goals, you have dreams, you might have great goals. But you got to rise up to the level of what God is calling you to do every single day. And like the scripture says here, you can't sleep on them. You know, for the business to start, you got to rise. For the relationship to get healthy, you got to rise. For you to see God's promises come into fruition, at some point, you'll have to rise. You'll have to stand up and make that decision. Now, you already know this. You already know that there are things that you can do. And I just want to encourage you today. This is an encouragement to do something. You don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. So what's within your reach? What is the thing that you can do right now? You might not be able to achieve your dream, your goal. You might not be able to have the whole road planned. But what's the next step that you can take? What's the one step that you can take? In what area of your life can you rise right now? You know what we see nowadays? I'm sure you see this too. We see a lot of idling idealists. You know, people who will say things like, man, JD. Actually, never heard this. But it's something like along these lines. If I could afford a gym, I would be a model. I would be there every day. I would have washboard abs, massive biceps. If I could afford a gym, I would be the most athletic person you've ever seen. But it's too expensive. I can't do it. You know? If I could work for that company, I would be the best executive they've ever seen. If I could work for that office right there, I would be the best employee they've ever had. But they didn't hire me. I sent the application in, and they didn't hire me, you know. I really want somebody to mentor me. I want to spend 1 hour every day learning from that person. But I sent them an email, and they didn't invite me into their circle. And, you know, if I had this, if I had that, then I would be. But since I don't, you know, there's nothing I can do. Henry David Thoreau said this, "Thus men will lie on their backs, talking about the fall of men, and never make an effort to get up." Don't let that be you. Don't be an idling idealist, talking about your ideals and never doing anything about it. Now, let me be a dad for a moment, okay, especially for the youngsters in the room. Sometimes it's soothing for you to talk about these grand goals and ideals, so that you can be comfortable with the fact that you're watching Netflix for 4 hours a day. You know. But the truth is what's reality. It's what exists right now. And if you want to change it, you got to rise. You got to take a step toward the goal. So be honest. You know, don't use ideals as an excuse for you to be idle, to do nothing. Don't use ideals as an excuse for you to be okay. Okay, we got the lights changed. I see people, you know, sometimes setting ideals so high in their minds that it's almost like a trap, right? I'm going to set this up so high so that I know I can't reach it and I can't do anything, and then I'm just sitting here. You know what? Let me encourage you. Dream big. Aim high. Do what you're called to do. But be honest. Is that really your calling? Is that what God called you to do? Is that really what God placed in your heart? If so, then do something. All right? Your life right now is delivering the results you have designed it to deliver. So let me encourage you. If you don't like where you're headed right now, listen to that scripture and wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. You may not be able to afford a gym, but you can go for a walk. You may not have that job, but you can get a job, right? You can work hard at it. You can rise. You can take a step, one step at a time. And this is what I mean. Listen, you take the step that you can take. You make the movement that you can move. You're right here, and you say, God, I want to get there. I can't. All I can do is this. Well, take the step, because this is what happens. When you wake up and you rise, Christ will shine his light on you, which means, you know what? He's going to push you into the next step. And then you take the other step that you can take, and you say, God, I can't take the next step. I can't do it, God. And God will push you into the next step. And then you take another step that's will appear to you, and soon, what's happening? You'll be dancing with God. Yeah, you'll be going, and God will be taking you into his journey because he wants to work with you. He doesn't want to sprinkle a magic over your life. It's about you engaging with what God is calling you to do. So remember, you already know it. He's already been speaking to you. Let me tell you, God made you for a purpose. He wants to use you and transform you from the inside out. You are not common. You are not unclean. God called you for something special, for something new. He loves you and he wants to make an example of your life. He wants your life to be an example of your goodness. So every single day, so that your life can be an example and a display of his goodness, ask yourself these things. What should I refrain from today? What should I repeat today and take another step toward the purpose that God has for me? And how can I rise today? In what area of my life can I rise today? In what area of my life can I get better? In what area of my life can I increase my output? And if you do that, you will usher in the life God has for you. You will be able to say, I am in Christ. And I am a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, he's made all things new. You receive it this morning. Amen. Amen.